in a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, we see that probably in our own families. And we see how that their life was like a vapor. It was here and then it's gone. You know, there are several times in the Bible scriptures are called in such a way that we see it like that. One of them, of course, is in the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, you go back to Ecclesiastes, and it's hard to, that's one of the books that's, it's very hard for me at least to think about as I read it. But listen to what he says here in chapter 12, verse 5. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the Adam tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be burden, and desire shall fail, he, because he, man, goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. People, most of the time, I think, have no concern about what's going to happen beyond this life that we're now living. Now, I know the Bible speaks, as James did, that it's like a vapor that comes up and it soon disappears, fades away. The Ecclesiastes writing there in that 12th chapter talks about how that people will be concerned about the grasshopper and the almond tree, but he also says that man goes to his long home. So that's telling us that there's another home after this life. That's amazing when we think about it, that there is another home after this life. There's another scripture that I'd like for you to look at, and it's found in Psalms 90. I know we've used this verse a lot, but it's so important that I think as we look at it in verse 90. Notice there in verse 90, I want to go to, let's just go to verse 10. Maybe verse 9 and 10. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Here the psalm writer puts it in these kind of words. Our life is like a tale that is told. I would ask most of you, how is your grandparents? What kind of word would you say about them now they're gone? And we'd talk about it, it'd be just like a story or a tale that is told. They live their life. But he goes ahead here in this verse 10 and points out that the days of our life is what? 70. That's 70 years. There's many in here that's already reached that. But he even adds to that just a little bit. It might be 80 years. That would be 80. Sadly, we see that people soon pass on, not concerned what's going to happen. You know, when we're looking and thinking about our life, it's soon gone, but our soul is not gone. You know, as you look in Ecclesiastes, let's go back there again. And let's notice here what he says as he goes ahead. In that verse 5, he says, we go to our long home. That's meaning the one after we die in this life. So there is another place to go. Look at verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. What a thought. There is a life beyond this life. We're going to a life beyond this life. So we need to be concerned and prepared for that day when we go on. Now I want you to look at a few verses in the New Testament. Let's go first of all to the book of Matthew. And let's go to the book of Matthew. Let's go to chapter 19. In chapter 19, I want to look at verse 29. In verse 29, it says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or streets, or fathers, or mothers, or wives, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, I would like, I probably should have wrote on this board, everlasting. What we see then, as we die from this time, and our body goes back to dust, but our soul does not go back to dust. Our soul is what? Everlasting. And when we go through the New Testament, we look at oftentimes how the word is used, everlasting life, and the other way that it is used, everlasting death, punishment. For instance, now, while we're close here in Matthew chapter 19, back up to chapter 18. In chapter 18, I want you to look there at verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to cast them into everlasting fire. I simply wanted us to get that word everlasting and what it meant. When it is used, everlasting life, that is a condition that the soul is going to be saved. But it is used in everlasting fire or everlasting punishment, as the words are used oftentimes. While you're there in Matthew, turn over to chapter 25. In chapter 25, notice there in verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer, and saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, and saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into, here's our word, everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What a thought. You know, as we read that happening here, this, it is recorded for us, we see our duty in certain areas that we must take care of in this life. And that is that there are people out there that are needing assistance and help, and we know them, and they're around us, and we need to take care of it. Because if we don't, we see what will happen in verse 46. We see everlasting punishment there to those who do not serve the Lord properly as they should. You know, we notice in that verse 46 also, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I think the very important thing that we need to understand is that life beyond this life is eternal. That should cause us to want to know and do what we should do in serving God. And we want all our friends and neighbors that we know to do that which is. And that's what he's explaining there to us. You know, there's a lot of them that we see. And we need to think about that word eternal and that how it is used oftentimes. Let's back up to the book of Revelation. And let's just go into, first of all, let's just go into chapter 21. As the book is finally winding down, as he is describing. In chapter 21, notice what he says in verse 8. He says, But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Here he names the sinners, the sins that are out there, and that people are involved in. We look in our society and we can take those lists and we see how it pays no attention to that list as being those things that will cause you to be burned in the fire and brimstone, the everlasting destruction. You know, there's another one there in chapter 20 and verse 10. in verse 10. It says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." What a thought. In other words, it is eternal. There's not ever going to be a break from that. You know, as we think about it and what we're thinking about, let's go into 2 Timothy a minute. In 2 Timothy, we have the Apostle Paul himself talking about his life. And there he makes mention of some things that I think we need to see in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's start with verse 6. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Think about it. Paul here talks about this life, and he speaks of it kind of in a way of a warfare, a fight. Well, we have a warfare and fight to prepare to meet God. We have to have a life where we omit sin and obey Him and His will, so that we are ready to go into this place that Paul speaks of here. Notice he says, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith." And then he says, "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day." And then he also makes a mention there that it's also for those that love his appearing. We are, and I should have wrote that and got more words to look at, everlasting. Our life is going to be everlasting. And it will be a life that is spent with God and His angels and His people. Or it will be in a bad place of judgment. What a thought. We all have to answer to that. You know, I think we might look at Romans chapter 14 a minute. Toward the end of the book there, Romans. Look at verse 10. Start with verse 10. He says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Everybody will. You will. Your parents will. Your grandparents will. Your children will. Your wife will. Your husband will. nobody gets past it. Every, hear what he said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Eternity will be either with God or it'll be with Satan, as we read back in Revelation there in chapter 20, where they're going to be cast. What about you this day? Think about it. Have you prepared for this day? You know, when Jesus was here, when he left and went back to heaven, he told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What was he talking about? Eternal. What's going to be after this life? If you need to be obedient to the Lord, you need to repent of your sins, you need to confess him before men, and you need to be buried in baptism for remission of sins. And then you need to live the Christian life, seeking to know what God wants you to do and doing it. If you've fallen away, you need to come back repenting and praying that it be forgiven. Would you come while we stand and sing?